Good morning and a very warm welcome to Worship with Kintore Kemney, Moni Muskin Clooney and Echt and McMahon. We're going to share a little bit about what's going on in each of the parishes this week. So I'll pass over to Neil from Kintore to start us off.
Thank you very much, Fiona. It's good to be with all of you again. We're into our third week now of in-person worship, and we're doing it at the same time as a live Zoom worship service. So it's been quite exciting putting the two together and having people interact both on screen and in person, but it is good. And I was saying to the others before we started recording that we have mentioned the C word for the first time this year recently. We'd started talking about Christmas, so we're beginning to put together our Christmas services for the end of the year. Again, they're going to be very different to what we've had previously.
And Ewan, how's things in Moni Muskin Clooney?
Well, in Clooney, we had our first service. We moved out of the hall, as I mentioned last week, out of the church into the hall, and we had our first service in our church hall on Sunday, and it was actually very well received. I think people actually prefer to be in the hall, although the spacing is still the same, it doesn't feel as far apart from others, and with the lower ceiling, it was a lovely atmosphere of coziness and friendliness, as opposed to sitting all over the church. So that went well. And in Moni Muskin, our children's work is moving, and we're trying to look to find how we do a mother and baby group. That's the next step on our plans, to try and convert one of our upper meeting rooms into a room for simply mothers and babies, for them to get together. So a few things going on, and yes, we've also started thinking about Christmas, but more about that to come. Thank you.
Good. And it's good to see Joshua back with us again. So what's going on in Kemney this week, Joshua?
Well, thanks, Fiona. And it's nice to be back with everybody back from family leave. And first, a huge thanks to every member of the team for carrying on with worship while I was gone. It's a huge comfort to have such wonderful friends and colleagues being a good support while I was away. So thank you very much. I will say it's encouraging to us in Kemney to know that Loaves and Fishes is back open and operating, and I think trying to reimagine ways of reaching out to the community, which has been encouraging. We are resuming our two weekly Bible studies, one on Mondays, I think that'll be via Teams, then Wednesdays with me on Facebook Live will be starting next week, and that'll be an Advent-themed Bible study. And like yourselves, we're starting the very beginning conversations about what Christmas will look like here in Kemney as well. I think for now we'll be focused on online services, but we'll see how things transpire. But hopefully whatever form it takes will be meaningful for everyone in this holiday season.
And I think Sheila has said that services are continuing in Echt, and on a Wednesday they're having an open church for private prayer in Midmar. So that's great. Things continuing on there as well. Right.
Good. Great. So then I guess we'll just welcome everybody to our worship service this morning. Thank you very much for joining us, and let's gather for worship.
Good morning. Let us come before God in worship. Our God, who created such variety in the world, who blessed each of us with our own gifts and our own talents, for each one of us is special. And when we work together in harmony, and when we combine our God-given uniqueness and abilities, then together we create something which is truly beautiful. So this morning, let us bring all that we are and all that we have as our offering of a united worship to God. Let us worship God.
Thank you. Hear the word of God, reading from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who'd received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who'd received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What strikes you as odd about this parable? A man goes away, leaving his servants in charge of different portions of his wealth. 2 of the servants make investments and double their money, and the 3rd one hides his talent, buries it in the ground until his master's return. And when the master does return, he's cast out as a wicked and lazy servant. While somewhere off in the distance, you can hear Billie Holiday singing, "Them that's got shall have, them that's not shall lose. God bless the child that's got his own." So what strikes you as odd about this story? Well, let's first figure out what the parable is about and why Jesus is telling the story. This is one of the 3 final parables that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25. As soon as he finishes speaking and telling these stories, the religious leaders in Jerusalem immediately begin to put together a plan to have him killed. So what on earth was so offensive about these stories that they wanted to kill him? Well, N.T. Wright explains. He says that the master in the story is not Jesus going away until the second coming, but rather it is God who entrusts the message of his kingdom into the hands of the Jewish leaders long ago. The servants, then, are not the disciples waiting for Jesus' return, but rather the scribes and the Pharisees who've been entrusted until now with the message of God's kingdom. He writes, "The scribes and Pharisees had been given the law of Moses. They had been given the temple, the sign of God's presence among them, They had been given wonderful promises about how God would bless not only Israel, but through Israel, the whole world. And they had buried them in the ground. They had turned the command to be the light of the world into an encouragement to keep the light for themselves. They had been worthless slaves, and now, when their master was at last coming back, he was going to call them to account. So the talents in this reading are then to be equated with the kingdom of God, or the message of the kingdom. And this is good news for all people, but the Pharisees had bound it up and as a closed gift for only the few, and they, the Pharisees, and religious leaders held the moral keys to dispense the gift to those few. But still, there's something odd about this parable. Have you noticed it yet? Two guys go off with different capital amounts to invest. Apparently, they do so independently, so we can presume that they did so in two different investment portfolios, and yet they both come back having doubled their money. Well, maybe it's just because I have a background in accountancy and finance, but that seems pretty suspicious to me. You see, the market can be a cruel place. Many more fortunes are lost than are made. And even prudent, knowledgeable investors risk losing it all. So how is it that these two investors both came back independently, having struck it rich? There must be something else at play. Maybe the entire market was booming at the time, or maybe the commodity they were investing in was a dead cert. It was bound to make money. For whatever reason, it seems they just could not lose on their investments. Well, of course, this is just a story, and Jesus isn't talking about the stock market here. The commodity at stake here is not money, but the good news of the kingdom. And Jesus' assumption is that the kingdom grows. Jesus says elsewhere in Matthew's gospel that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that grows into a great bush where all the animals, all the birds can find a place to nest. Or that it's like a tiny bit of yeast put into a big batch of dough, and it works through the whole batch and causes the whole batch to rise. In other words, the kingdom of God gets in everywhere and takes over everything. And Jesus wasn't the first person to realize this inevitability of the growth of God's kingdom. Isaiah, the Hebrew prophet, hundreds of years before, put these words in the mouth of God in chapter 55 of his prophecy. He writes, "It is the same with my word, says the Lord. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." You see, the point is that we can't look at the third servant in this parable with pity. He wasn't just an unlucky schmuck who happened to end up on the bottom of the pile. We can't sympathize and say, "Ah, well, if the others had lost all their money, he would have turned out to be the hero." Profit from the investment, in this case, was a certainty, and he should have known it. Remember, he says to his master at one point, "Master, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed." Stanley Hauerwas puts it this way: "The one who received the one talent feared the giver. He did so because he assumed that the giver had given a gift that could only be lost or used up. So the slave with the one talent feared losing what he had been given, with the result that he tried to turn the gift into a possession. In contrast, the first two slaves recognized that to try to secure the gift they had been given means that the gift would be lost." It seems to me that there's a lot of fear in the church today. We've been entrusted with these precious, precious gifts, buildings that are hundreds of years old, investments that have been built up over generations, an institutional structure that goes back all the way to the Reformation, traditions that have I been, and memories that stretch back a lifetime. Let's bury them here. Let's preserve them unchanged. Let's hold on to them until our Lord returns. How pleased he will be with us when he returns and sees that we've been so careful. But will he? Will he be pleased? Remember that the precious memories we have were not made on the days when we simply repeated doing what we'd always done, but on the days when we tried something new. And that every honored tradition we have started out as an innovation which was so good that we said, we need to do this again. So what if we were to trust the market? To trust that the investment of God's kingdom always brings a return? What if we were to risk making new memories and establishing new traditions? We have a new generation on our doorstep and new neighbors living next door. Let's make some new memories with them. We have new technology at our fingertips and a new social setting that has been thrust upon us by the COVID pandemic. Let's try out new things that might be so good we decide to do them again until they become traditions. In other words, let's think big. Let's risk big. Let's go big or go home. The Italian writer Natalia Ginzburg wrote about instructing children in the great virtues. I think her words apply equally to children of any age. She writes, "As far as the education of children is concerned, I think they should be taught not the little virtues, but the great ones. Not thrift, but generosity and an indifference to money. Not caution, but courage and a contempt for danger. Not shrewdness, but frankness and a love of truth. Not tact, but a love for one's neighbor and self-denial. Not a desire for success, but a desire to be and to know. Let's risk big and trust that God's kingdom will grow. Amen."
In my sermon in church this week, I'm actually preaching on I lift up my eyes to the Lord. So I'm not going to close my eyes for this prayer. I'm not even going to bow my head. But if you feel like you need to, please do so. Shall we join together in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we want to bless you and thank you for all the talents and gifts that you have enabled us to share with each other for the furtherance of your kingdom. We want to thank you for the gift of patience and love and kindness, for those gifts of the Spirit that we read about and that we experience in our daily lives. We want to thank you for the ability that others have that benefit our lives by the gifts you have given them. Those who work in the fields of science or the arts, those who work in education, those who have gifts and skills to benefit the wider communities. Lord, we have all been blessed by you with gifts. Help us to use them wisely for the benefit of all. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our families and our friends and those we hold dear. We thank you for your church and our place in it. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, for what he has taught us to how to love and to care and to share. We thank you for his life and death and mighty resurrection, and his promise to us that we will share in that resurrection through faith in him. And to him we offer these our prayers, prayers for others. We pray for those in times of need. We remember those many people, because of circumstances out with their control, who have lost their work, who are struggling to make ends meet, who are afraid for the future. Reach out and bless them. We remember those who, because of circumstances out with their control, are lonely or hurting or ill, and we ask that you would reach out and love them. We remember the leaders of nations who are trying to balance so many different responsibilities. We ask that you will bless them with wisdom and strength. We remember our church, the congregations that we represent, and the wider community of the faithful in heaven and on earth. And we thank you and ask that you will bless us in our journey together in this area group, that you will bless the church as it makes the difficult journey into the unknown future. Help us to know that wherever we are going, that you are with us, and that you have blessed us with the gifts and talents necessary to be your church in these days of change and challenge. Lord, we give you thanks, and we bless you, and we praise you for so many things. Reach out in love and support those who are bereaved. Comfort those who are worried for their health and their futures. Reach out through us in any way that we can to lend your loving ear and your helping hand. Father God, we bring these prayers to you in Jesus' name. And as we pray in whatever tradition that we are comfortable with, we say the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
And so receive God's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.